Near FM are marking 25 years on air. And as part of that, I'm joined by Brendan Teeling, who was with us 25 years ago as a presenter and also as a secretary of the Near Cooperative. Brendan, tell me, what do you remember about those times?
Hi, Kieran. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about it. Well, I suppose my connection with Near FM goes back beyond the 25 years into the more distant past, when we were unlicensed, I think is the word that we used. And I was therefore with the station, with what became Near FM, from the very beginning, from when it was an idea that Jack Byrne had. I palled around with Jack's son, John, and through that we became involved in the station. And our first studio actually was a sort of a self-contained room in St. David's School, in the secondary school down on the Malahide Road.
Okay.
They had a large, they had a large room. I think they had been dormitories. And there was one on the top floor, or up above anyway. I can't remember which floor it was on, but it wasn't being used particularly by the school. And we sort of built, constructed a sort of almost like a porter cabin type thing. Inside the room, a very small unit that contained the mixing desk, and the transmitter was, I can't remember where the transmitter was, maybe on the roof, or there may have been a link.
And was it strange to go into a school to make radio?
Yeah, it was weird, you know, and it was very strange. It was strange anyway, because radio was something that, there were the pirate stations, you know, which of course pirate stations had been around for a while on stage. The idea that we were making programs and that we weren't looking to make money out of it. I remember that was the thing that when we talked to people about the station, that was the thing that they were sort of most skeptical of. You know, people had this strange idea, well, you must be doing that to make money or whatever. And of course, we weren't in it for that. We were in it for all sorts of reasons, as you know. And we're in St. David's for a while. And at some point, we ended up moving out to a hotel out where Clare Hall, where the shopping centre is now. There were two hotels out there. I think one was called the Country Club and the other was called the Clare Manor Hotel, maybe. And at some point, we ended up in a bedroom in this hotel, which is where the studio was.
Did you just say that the studio was in a bedroom in the hotel?
Bedroom in the hotel. Yeah.
So you went from a classroom to a hotel bedroom.
We went for a sort of self-contained mini porter cabin type thing, and then we went out to this hotel bedroom. And at some point, I don't really remember the sequence of things, and I never kept a diary or anything like that. But I remember one evening we ended up going up to Bray Head to get a transmitter, which I'm assuming must have belonged to Bray, you know, the Bray Community Radio or somebody like that. And they didn't need this transmitter. And it was a huge, enormous thing. And I remember getting a few friends of mine who were, unlike me, big, strong lads. And I remember going up with Jack and getting this transmitter. And we must have brought that back to the hotel. And eventually, moving on from the hotel, we ended up for the longer period, as far as I remember, in a premises there, I'll tell you where it is, the opposite McDonald's on the Kilmore Road.
Oh, yeah.
In that little industrial estate there. I'm sure the building's still there. I only went past it yesterday. But as you go in the gates there on the right-hand side, there was a sort of a standalone office building. And we were in that, we were in that for a good few years. I think that was probably when we were called Concord.
Mm-hmm.
And I could sing the.
I'll go on, sing the jingle. I'll go on.
Concord means unity, friendship and community. Concord means cooperation, harmony and good vibrations.
Sounds pretty good. Well, I'm glad that stuck with you anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So look, we you know, at that stage, I suppose my involvement, as I was very friendly with Jack, I knew Jack very well. I was in college, I suppose, at the time, and you know, that whole idea of community media and giving a voice to local community and being a sort of a counterweight, if you like, to the other, the more corporate media, if you like. That ethos obviously was very strong, although, you know, in terms of programming, I did all sorts of things over the years. You know, we started out doing a rock music program, myself and John Byrne, Jack's son. We did that for a good few years. I did a blues program. I did a country music program. At one point, I even did a classical music program. Okay. And so at that stage, you know, there was a core group. Don't ask me the names now, but we were always trying to get more people involved. But I will say, Kieran, I don't know what it's like now, but you know, most people who wanted to get involved, they got involved from it because they had a particular music that they were interested in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it wasn't, you know, the people who got involved from the sort of the philosophical side of it or the community activism side of it, they were fewer. We did get those people, but yeah. I will say that they were fewer. We could have run a 24-hour station. We just play music.
So,
you know,
so it wasn't very revolutionary at that time.
No, I mean, I think we realized, I suppose, that look, you had to have music at that time. We had ads and tried to paid for the station. And so you had to have a bit of music in order to get the ads, you know. But it was never a straightforward commercial thing. I mean, most people who were supporting the station, they understood it was something different.
And do you remember much then about the period kind of lobbying that went alongside the pirate to get the license for Near FM?
Yeah, I mean, we you know, obviously, as you know, Jack was a great was a great talker, great man for trying to go out and meet people and persuade them. And we used to do that, you know. I remember having some sort of stand up in the shopping centre on the north side, you know, trying to get people to support the station.
Mm-hmm.
We had the cooperative, you know, which people signed up to. And we spent a lot of time trying to get community stations recognised. And, of course, then under, I can't remember, was the Fianna Fáil government, I can't remember if the PDs were involved, but Ray Burke, we won't go into that, but, you know, Ray Burke became Minister for Communications and brought in some reforms. And that's where, as far as I remember, things like Today FM, or maybe it was a different... Anyway, the first commercial stations then came about, which were licensed. We were disappointed, I remember, because my recollection is that the first time around there weren't community radio licenses granted. So we were still agitating for community radio and to be given licenses, and it took a long time before we were even given the opportunity to actually apply for a license.
And do you remember then when the license eventually came about? Was that was there quite a celebration? Was it a feeling of?
Well, yeah, I mean there was. I mean, my recollection is that at this stage, where we over in Northside, in what is that DIY? Not DIY. So is there a builders providers there beside the?
Oh, the JW Hire there beside the funeral.
It was that building. And we were upstairs in that building at that stage. And we went off the air.
Yeah.
But the forerunner of the BLI, I can't remember the name, I think they had been established.
Yeah.
And they had announced that there would be licenses available. And so we went off the air. It was sort of like, I suppose, a gesture of goodwill, you know, saying, okay, we're going to leave that behind. Mm-hmm. The organisation remained. We and then when the licences were advertised, that obviously we put together an application. And in fact, I distinctly remember, Kieran, there were public hearings where you had to go in and speak to representatives of the
IRTC,
the IRTC. That was
it. Yeah.
And I remember that Niall Stokes, for example, from Hot Press, was on that. Was on the IRTC at the time, which leads me to think that it was actually probably Michael D. Higgins was the minister, or certainly Minister for Culture maybe at the time. But anyway, so I remember we had to go in, and it was to the Alexander Hotel, which I remember because I worked actually right next door at the time in the libraries. We had our headquarters there. And I remember going in, myself and Jack, and there would have been couple of other people, I can't remember who would it maybe have been. Margaret was there, Now, we had a manager at that stage, I can't remember, but a few of us went in and we had to make a presentation to this commission or representative of the commission. And I remember a little bit of argy-bargy between me and one of the people on the commission because I made a comment about news reports by fax. It was fax at the time, not an email. And the point I was trying to make was that we wouldn't be just regurgitating whatever faxes we got from PR companies. Didn't go down too well. But we also put forward our music program and all the rest of it. So I do remember that. And then, of course, we were, I must have been, as you say, I was involved, obviously, in the board, on the board. I've done various things as a member of the board, with the exception of money. I never wanted anything to do with money, but I know I looked after programming for a while and I looked after training and all sorts of things. But anyway, yeah, we were really, really delighted. It was fantastic. We felt it was a fantastic achievement for us to get the license and be in a position then to move forward with a legal radio station. And that, of course, allowed us to take advantage of the community employment scheme. And, of course, we couldn't have run the station without that CE scheme. So, yeah, getting the license was it felt like great vindication, Ciarán. And I think all of us, I mean, there were lots of people involved. Jack, Tomás McRory, lots of people whose names I can't remember. But really, I suppose, we all felt that it was a great tribute to Jack and to all the work he'd done over the years, because he was the driving force behind the whole thing.
Do you remember then one of your roles was it head of programming? Do you remember bringing in any particular programming or even wanting to bring in a particular type of programming?
Well, I do remember being sounds like a great title, head of programming. No, I suppose, you know, what we were concerned was to mainly provide a range of programming that included music, but that was not necessarily top 40, you know, that it was, genre music. So, you know, we had jazz and we had classical, as I say, we had country, we had rockabilly. I remember we had a reggae program, you know, we'd all sorts of genre music. And then we tried to get, you know, some more community-based programs. So I remember, I'll laugh a minute, but I presented a local history program. And you know, that was probably the first history program as such, you know, that program dedicated solely to history, that was on air, you know. And I also remember then, at the time, there were people coming in from the former Yugoslavia, and we put together a program broadcast by some of these refugees. They were called program refugees. They came in under a particular program under the Department of Affairs.
They were Bosnians, basically, escaping Bosnians, from the war,
yeah.
Weren't they?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And we put together a program, and we trained people, and they put together their own program. You know, that was at the time fairly radical. I mean, nobody was doing that sort of thing.
Especially
and
to hear,
we had the freedom to do it.
And to hear Serba Croat spoken on the radio.
I do remember this. Yeah. I had a slight concern that I'm not being facetious now. But, you know, we didn't know what they were saying. You know, and that was a very tricky situation, in the sense that because you had refugees here who would have fought on different sides of that conflict, or rather, to be fair, were from different communities in the conflict. And we had no idea what these people were saying, obviously, because we didn't speak Serbo Croat. But it was a very successful program from that point of view. I mean, overall, we just aimed, I think, here to have a wide range of programming that was rooted in the community.
Yeah. Do you remember on the road to getting there, or maybe just in the early days of the license, was there any particular setbacks or any particular major challenges to deal with?
Which I don't remember, Ciarán, any major setbacks. We did have, I mean, money was always an issue, you know, and Jack worked hard to identify sources of funding and get people to support us. We were a small group, I suppose, and we were bringing people in, so we had to make sure that those people were trained, and there was a fair amount of work involved in that. I remember, for example, doing training myself, you know, bearing in mind that I was not a broadcaster, never regarded myself as such, if you know what I mean. But, you know, I had learned how to present programs. And I remember we put together a training program. So we wanted it to be as professional as we could and provide a solid basis for people as we could. And the premises was an issue. And I know that at some point we ended up in Bunratty, but around the corner from where the station is now, would it have been where the Northside Partnership was?
Yeah, there was.
Maybe in there. That's right. Yeah. And things like that, where you know, having to set up the studio, and you know, we were running a CE scheme, and as you know, Ciarán's, there's an awful lot goes with that. That's nothing to do with the broadcasting, was to do with the admin. You know, we were really so happy to have the station, and everybody involved was so committed to it. Now, you know, I don't remember anyway any major setbacks in that time. There could well have been, like, I'm not remembering, well, but
no.
Yeah, no, I think it was good.
Yeah. Maybe we'll wrap it up a bit here, but bring me back to the music again, Brendan, that you did. Was it yourself and John that you present together? And was there another Ciarán, a fellow with red hair and a red beard? Was he part of that too? Part of those heavy metal programs or the rock programs from that era?
Come right back to the very, very early days, very beginnings of it. Myself and John Byrne presented what we call the rock program. And it was fairly much, it was music that wasn't being heard at the time. It was heavy metal and hard rock and, you know, that sort of stuff. And we did that for a good few years. But I know we did it when we were over in Bunratty originally, because I remember that. And there were people who used to come in, you know, we did a few, I won't call them fans, but listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And they might come over, you know, there's two lads I remember from nearby, and that may be who you're thinking of. Used to come in, and they might bring in a couple of albums. They play their albums, and we'd have a chat about them, that sort of stuff. You know, the probably the person I remember most is Bop and Billy, Billy Fitzsimons, whose knowledge of music was so great, and he introduced me. Listened to him, he introduced me to a huge amount of music. And
you said you did a country music program as well.
Yeah, I did a little bit of a country program, based mainly on the stuff that Billy had. You know, had introduced me to.
Yeah.
I did a blues program, which was called Mystery Train. before there was such a program on RTE.
Did you copyright that name?
As you know, there's no copyright in titles. We play blues, and again, that was rooted in the music that Billy introduced me to. And then when we got the license, I presented a program called Exile on Main Street. And Exile on Main Street is the name of a Rolling Stones album, one of their best albums. And I played, it was two or three hours possibly, and I played all sorts of, hard to describe, rock, you know, and maybe a bit of left field rock. But this is going back here on, you know, a good while. So I did bits and pieces, and the one I did enjoy, the history program, actually really enjoyed that.
That was your degree, wasn't it?
A degree in history, and then subsequently, actually, afterwards, I did a master's in local studies, but this was sort of between that, and I really enjoyed that,
Okay, so we leave it at that, Brendan. Thanks very much. It was lovely to talk to you and lovely to hear those stories of that era.
Yeah, no problem, Ciarán. It's great to see the station continuing, you know, still being here after all these years. And it's a great tribute to everybody involved over the years. I mean, I don't know anyone now. I don't think anyone except you and my brother. I think he's still involved, is he?
He is indeed, yeah.
And Jack, of course. Mm-hmm. And over the years, we lots of people came and went. But it's a great tribute to the station and to the team. They're still going well, and I look forward to the next 25 years.
Yeah, thanks very much, Brendan. Yeah. And of course, a lot of the great stuff that still happens here is was built on the shoulders of giants like yourself, who were there to set it all up.
So, I don't know about that. But, yeah. Ciarán, we did try to, you know, we did try to put in place a structure that would last. You know, that was a proper structure. And as you say, that could be built on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we weren't professional broadcasters. We tried to run a professional organization. I'm sure, Ciarán, we chose well and the people we hired. You know.
thanks very much, Brendan. all right, then we will leave it at that. I'll take that compliment and then we'll go. All right, I'll talk to you again. Slán, lad.
Take it easy. Bye bye.